There are a couple of texts for to read this morning for our worship service. The first one is in Mark chapter 1, and the second one is in Ezekiel 36. Mark 1 is only one verse, so if you have some time, you might want to try and find Ezekiel 36. So Mark 1, and that's just verse 15. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And then Ezekiel 36, and that starts at verse 22, going through to the end of the chapter. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land which I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will deliver you from all your uncleanliness, and I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you. I will make the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field abundant, that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourself for your iniquities and your abominations. It is not for your sake that I will act, declares the Lord God. Let that be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited and the waste places to be rebuilt, and the land that was desolate shall be tiled instead of being the desolation that it was in the sight of all who passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and the ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that are left all around you shall know that I am the Lord. I have rebuilt the ruined places and replanted that which was desolate. I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it. Thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them, to increase their people like a flock, like the flock for sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem during her appointed feasts. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of people. Then they will know that I am the Lord. So far our reading today.
I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open to Ezekiel 36. We're going to be referring back to that through the course of this morning's message to see what God is saying here. As we consider that this morning, not only is there this reflection that we're going to consider what Jesus is saying, notice what Jesus says as he introduces his ministry, the time is fulfilled, the time is here, the time is now, and the kingdom of God is at hand, it's about to dawn on the people, repent, that's what we're looking at this morning, and believe in the gospel. We'll be considering that this afternoon, repent and believe in the gospel. This afternoon from the Westminster Confession of Faith, Chapter 14, we'll be considering what it means to have a saving faith. But this morning we're considering repentance. And we do so in continuation of our consideration of the coming of God's kingdom. And what does it mean to be a part of God's kingdom? We've considered work. We've considered kingdom training. This morning, we consider the heart that we need to have for the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is about the presence of Christ in our lives. And let me alert you to some of the ambiguity in this morning's message, the heart for God's kingdom. It can be taken in two ways. It can be the heart that God has for his kingdom. So it's God's heart for God's kingdom. And it can also be our heart for God's kingdom. And I'm not going to resolve that for you. I don't think it's something we can resolve. It's the reality that when we have God's heart in our heart, then we are aware of what the kingdom of God is all about. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. It requires that we enter the kingdom of God through repentance and faith. But not only is the entrance into the kingdom of God a matter of repenting and believing the gospel, the entrance needs to be maintained. We need to continue living. We need to receive this inheritance. We need to live as kingdom citizens by repentance and faith. But also we need to evaluate, and we need to recognize that the measure of success in God's kingdom is the degree to which we see repentance and faith as central in our lives as God's people. We need the eyes of faith to see that where repentance and faith is being expressed and exercised, that there God's kingdom is successfully growing. And that's what makes remarkable this glorious prophecy of Ezekiel 36, because it's apparent from what Ezekiel is saying that this had been lost a long time ago and that God's kingdom had been compromised. Ezekiel is a prophet, he's an exilic prophet, which means he prophesied to Israel as they had been taken out of the promised land. They had been exiled from the promised land, and there was this physical exile that God removed them through the Babylonians to the land of Babylon. And it was a physical exile to display the reality of their spiritual bankruptcy. But they were spiritually bankrupt long before the physical exile because their hearts had hardened to God. It's not that they wouldn't use the words of repentance. Joel reminds us that they would rend the garment. They would put on sackcloth and ashes, but it never touched their heart. And so in that way, that spiritual way, first of all, the kingdom of God was lost. And now they lived in exile, they lived in Babylon, they were taken out of, forcibly and physically removed from the promised land to display a spiritual reality that had occurred. Ezekiel says it this way, we didn't read these verses, but it's found in 36, verses 18 and 19. So I poured out my wrath upon them for the blood that they had shed in the land. So they were guilty of shedding one another's blood. For the idols with which they had defiled it, I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries. In accordance with their ways and their deeds, I judged them. God exiled them. It's not because their enemies were more powerful than they. It was because they had corrupted their hearts. And while they were under God's judgment in exile, they didn't change. They didn't change. They didn't turn from their evil ways. Their hearts were hard. They had a heart of stone. And what hope could there be? If you think of Isaiah, you think of Jeremiah, you think of Ezekiel, the major prophets, the major written prophets, Isaiah had the ministry pre-exile of proclaiming the coming of Christ, but proclaiming the revelation of God's word in a way that would harden their hearts. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, was coming to God's people again and again, calling them to reform their ways, and they rejected him. They refused to listen. Ezekiel now comes, and now they're in exile, and you think, now surely they've hit the bottom of the barrel. Surely they'll realize what is going on. But they don't. And yet God didn't abandon his gospel or give up on his word of hope, and he proclaims the gospel in a glorious way. What hope could there be for someone who has a heart of stone? That is the context, the framework in which Ezekiel is proclaiming these astounding words. It is, first of all, that understand the heart of God, understand God's heart for his kingdom, and then be aware of what he will do in your heart. That's what we're considering, this multiple way in which God is going to work. He's going to show his heart, and that's going to powerfully affect your heart. And that's what we need to consider this morning. This is the heart for God's kingdom. First of all, we'll look at the cause for God's actions. Secondly, the result of God's actions. And thirdly, the request for God's actions. First of all, the cause. What is it that makes God move? And our text says it a number of different ways. It's his concern for holiness. God has an active, enduring, constant concern for holiness. This attribute, his holiness, his splendor, his glory, directs all of his actions, and particularly in judgment. But also we need to recognize most gloriously in salvation. Where Israel refused to move their heart toward God, God promised that his concern for holiness will be the cause for the work of the Holy Spirit in changing these people's hearts and taking their heart of stone and making it a heart of flesh. Holiness reflects the need for judgment, but the holiness of God also reflects the need for his salvation. And prior to a revelation of salvation, how frequently God appeared in holiness. He did this with Moses at the burning bush. Take off your feet, because the ground you are standing on is holy ground. I am about to act, and I'm about to act in a way of salvation, and you need to be aware of my holiness, Moses, if you're going to understand my salvation. He did this with Joshua just before they went in conquest of the promised land. There was the angel of the Lord who appeared, and again that word, take off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground. And in the presence of the angel of the Lord, Joshua had the question, are you for us or against us? And the angel of the Lord said, neither. I'm here to act for my holy sake. Isaiah, in the presence of God's holiness, and in Isaiah chapter 6, and in which Isaiah has this magnificent vision of God's holiness, and he's overwhelmed, he's undone. Woe is me, he says. And yet God doesn't make that the last word of judgment, but he takes the coal from the altar, and he commissions the angel to touch Isaiah's lips so that he could be healed and he could be cleansed from his unrighteousness. Awareness of holiness is reflected not only on awareness of judgment, but also an awareness of salvation. God acts in saving his people because his holiness requires it. And his holiness requires a need for restoration. When you ignore or you minimize the grace of God, when you think that grace is just something that you're entitled to, that God has to forgive you for some reason in yourself, this detracts from his holiness. It attacks his glory. It is a cheapening of grace, which will result in a flourishing of immorality and coldness in worship. Not only will you receive judgment, but you will not know the holiness that moves God to salvation. And Ezekiel reveals that when you are under judgment, when you are cold and distant, that is the time to be awakened by awareness of His holiness. But also, and part of that will be that awakenness, being awakened to God's holy judgment, will be an awareness of your worthiness of His condemnation. But notice what He says here in Ezekiel, and it's profound. He says, now I'm going to work a work of grace. I'm going to change your heart from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. Why? Not because of something in you, but because of everything in me. Did you hear that when Elwin read the text? Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is a house of Israel that is under God's condemnation, that is living in exile, that is alienated and estranged from God, that is displaying their spiritual bankruptcy and their physical departure from the promised land. And say to this house, it is not for your sake, verse 22, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for the sake of my holy name. Verse 23, and I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations. Now Israel was continuing to live with a hardened heart, and notice what they had done. While they should have repented while they were in these exiled condition, they didn't. They continued to profane the name of the Lord. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. And what are you expecting? While they're under judgment, God's going to heap it on them. But most astoundingly, no, He promises. He promises an outpouring of His grace, that His holiness is going to prompt Him to move, to display the glory of His grace by which He restores the wayward. That's the cause for His action. And what is the result? That secondly, the result of God's action, God has a specific plan to deliver His people, and it's part of His action. And notice what He's going to counter. He's going to counter point for point their immorality and their iniquity. Consider what He says of what He's going to do. This is the result. He says, I will cleanse you. Verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. God's going to do this. The filth of their immorality is going to be taken away. The falseness of their worship is going to be countered. God is going to move for His holiness, and He's going to cleanse them. Verse 26, there's going to be repentance. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. This is the promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Change. Your heart can change from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. There will be a concern for holiness. Verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Oh, how they had neglected this and they had abandoned this. But this is what God is restoring and recovering. The effect of a new heart is a delight in the law of God. A delight in the will of God. It's a desire to walk in His ways. If we bypass this work of God's Spirit, if we don't see that this is God's action, we'll never take delight in God's ways. We'll be riddled with guilt because as hard as we try to obey, we can never obey enough. But if we look to God and say, God, this is the Spirit I need. This is the work that I need. I am dependent upon You for this. If we humble ourselves before our God, then His laws will be a delight rather than a curse. So there's a place of cleansing that God will accomplish. There's a repentance with a new heart that God will accomplish. There is a concern for holiness and obedience that God will accomplish. There is also a need for restoration. And it's expressed in these Old Testament ways, verse 28 through 30. You will dwell in the land that I gave to your forefathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. That's what God had promised, is the covenant promise that God gave to Abraham. And I will deliver you from all your uncleanness, and I will summon the grain and make it abundant. I will make the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field. It's going to be like a new Garden of Eden. That's the splendor of God's kingdom. That's the result of God's actions. All of this is what He accomplishes. And what He is summoning us to realize is the presence of His glorious kingdom. It's the outworking of repentance in our lives. That we, who by nature are objects of wrath, can be restored through Christ by the operation of the Holy Spirit in repentance and faith, to be a reflection of the second Adam in a world that is dark and dismal. So the cause for God to act is His holiness. The result of His action is a spiritual, inborn fruit of the Holy Spirit change. Thirdly, the request for God's action. Verses 31 and 32, "Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were no good, and you will loathe yourself." But then again, it's also the request that comes in verse 37. "This also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them, to cause His work to flourish among them. Like a flock for the sacrifice, like the flock at Jerusalem, so shall the waste cities be filled. Then they will know that I am the Lord." The awareness of God's holy activity, that we would recognize our works, yes, our works, not the works of the world. Our works are loathsome, are tainted with sin. We need something pure. We need something cleansed. We need something that only Christ can offer us. God works to save us, not because we are worthy, not because He needs us, not because we're entitled to grace. This was Israel's error. This is why Jesus came and proclaimed, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe." The heart for God's kingdom is the heart of God's kingdom. It needs to be displayed in our hearts. It's the place of repentance and humility that we know and we show because of our certainty of the accomplishment of Jesus Christ. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here in the presence of the King. Repent and believe the gospel. Do you look for God to act in this way in your life? The gospel is what Ezekiel reveals and Jesus reveals. And it's what the Holy Spirit accomplished. God brings judgment and repentance because of His holiness. John's ministry, just like Ezekiel's ministry, and Jesus' ministry, just like John's ministry, just like Ezekiel's ministry, was amongst God's covenant people, was within the church whose hearts had hardened, just like Israel's in exile. And God's word is for us this morning. What is the heart for God's kingdom? As we celebrate the coming of the King at Christmas, we need to realize the cause of God's action. It's His holiness. The result of God's action, it's our cleansing. And the request for God's action, because without our King, we're lost. So as we conclude this morning, people of God, knowing God's heart for the kingdom must change your heart. We talked last week about the parallels between Israel and us. It's not only a parallel in terms of receiving the promises, it's also a parable in terms of receiving judgment. Israel refused to repent. This was even worse when Jesus was present. Listen to what Jesus says. Matthew 11. Jesus warns these cities in which he had done his works, in which he had proclaimed his gospel. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, in Galilee, the place of Peter's home, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. How is your heart? How is your heart for God's kingdom? Is it displaying and showing that the measure of your success in God's kingdom is not the abundance of your wealth, but the brokenness of your heart? Because there's a confidence in the work of the Spirit to cleanse, to restore, to recover, to bless. If your heart is stone cold toward God, if you're here this morning just worshiping as a formality, turn to God who can change it and ask for His Spirit to work. If God is distant, now is the time to call upon Him. The heart of God's kingdom is displayed in our repentance and faith. Repentance is that turning away from self, turning away from your beloved sins, turning away from your wants, and yielding to God's will. It's a beautiful parallel that Jesus teaches us to pray. Your kingdom come. Yes, we long for that. And the next petition, an awareness of the humility. Not my will be done. Your will. Your will. Let us yield what our will to the will of God. If we're not displaying repentance and faith, then you haven't understood God's holiness and His judgment looms. But appeal to that holiness and acknowledge your bankruptcy and your brokenness. And in repentance and faith, ask Him, for the sake of His holiness, for the sake of His glory, to work His grace, His holy, perfect, purifying, cleansing, restoring grace of redemption and restoration in your life, to give you the heart for the kingdom of God. Amen.